We're in a Christmas series entitled The Hope of Christmas. And just a little bit of review, we looked at 2 weeks ago how the hope of Christmas brings great joy. And we looked at the text in Luke chapter 2 where the angel came and he announced to the shepherd that I have good news of great joy for you. It was a personal message of great hope that the Savior of the world had been born. And this message had come to the shepherds. These shepherds were outsiders. They were the marginalized people who were always on the outside looking in. But this was the gospel that came to the group that needed to hear it most in the moment. And so we looked at that last 2 weeks ago about the fact that this message is personal. It is for each and every one of us. It was not only for the shepherds, but it is for us, this good news of hope. And so when it comes to the people who should have the most joy, the hope, the most hope in life, it ought to be Christians because we know the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then last week, Jeff shared about how this good news of hope, the hope of Christmas, is not without its hardships. As we live our life for Christ, there are going to be times of suffering. And we can look at the life of Mary when she submitted herself to the will of the Lord and said that she would become the mother of the Messiah. I'm not sure she anticipated all the trials and tribulations that were going to come her way. But it's through those trials and tribulations that we grow in our hope. We learn to persevere. We learn to know what true joy is all about. And I like what Jeff said last week in his sermon. He said, pleasure and comfort can't coexist with suffering, but joy can if you have the right mindset. And the mindset is in knowing that God is with us. He is there with us as we're going through those difficult times, and that God is using those things in our life to produce more hope. And so this morning, we're going to look at the idea of the hope of Christmas being a time to embrace peace. And we're going to be looking again at Luke chapter 2. And we're going to be perusing John chapters 14 through 16. But you know, when it comes to peace and Christmas, and you look at the various Christmas cards, and you see baby Jesus lying in the manger, or being cradled in arms of his mother, I'm not sure that is an accurate depiction of Jesus' birth on that night. I'm not sure just how much peace there was on that Christmas night and when it comes to babies. Because they're not easy to raise. And it's a lot of hard work, and there's a lot of sleepless nights. And we don't see that on the Christmas cards. I'm getting a kick out of Trevor and Mary. They just had a recent baby in their home, as well as Joseph and Emily, my son and daughter both had babies this year in the year of COVID. But I've got a kick out of them coming into our homes, kind of staggering in our homes on occasion. Just hearing about their sleepless nights. And I asked Trevor and Mary last week, what's easier? What's been harder? Getting a master's degree at Notre Dame or being a new parent? And they both said simultaneously, being a new parent. And so this is not an easy time. This wasn't an easy time for Mary, particularly in the fact that there was no room in any inns. They had to go to a manger scene, a place where animals dwell, for Mary to give birth to the Savior. And so, you know, that Christmas night just kind of reminds us of our Christmas season this year with COVID-19. You know, I just read this last week that COVID is now the leading cause of death in the United States, far surpassing heart disease or cancer. And even though this is a limited period of time, there are more people dying of COVID right now than there are of any other disease. And that's caused a lot of anxiousness in people's hearts and lives. And so the question for us this morning as we look at the text as God's Word is, how can we find peace in this Christmas season? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, when the Messiah comes, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want you to know the point of message this morning. The point of this message this morning is this, that peace is not tied to circumstances. Peace is tied to a person. The person, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And so when Isaiah made that promise was made 700 years before Christ was born. And so now 700 years later, we have in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, the promise fulfilled. And so let me read those verses this morning. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Who are those with whom God is pleased and has peace? Well, we're going to look at that in just a moment. But this is the hope. This is the promise. This is what Christmas brings. Peace. You know, there was another godly man in Scripture in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. His name was Simeon. And the Lord had promised Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Savior. And so he was living his life in great anticipation, coming to the temple, longing and looking for the Savior. And in verse 29, he's seen Mary and Joseph bring baby Jesus. It's now 8 days after his birth, bringing the baby Jesus into the temple to be dedicated to the Lord and to be circumcised. And this is what Simeon says while he's holding the baby Jesus in his arms. He says in verse 29, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon was now prepared to depart in peace because God had fulfilled his promise. He had seen the salvation of not only Israel, but of Gentile as well, for the whole earth. God fulfilled his promise. And so this is the peace. This peace is found in a person. It's found in Jesus. And before we came to this Christmas series, we've been walking through the book of John. And we haven't gotten to John chapters 14 through 17 yet, but I want to point our attention this morning to John chapter 14, because John elaborates more on this peace. He picks up on this idea of peace in the final moments of Jesus' life before he's about to be crucified. Just elaborating on this Prince of Peace. And this particular Bible that I'm reading from is not a red-letter version of the Bible, but maybe you have a red-letter version of the Bible. But if you look through John 14, 15, 16, and 17, most of those words are in the letter red. Those are Jesus' words. And this is an extended discourse that Jesus is having with his disciples. We see a similar discourse in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But in this particular discourse, it's not with the multitude, it's with the disciples. And Jesus says this in John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. He says this: "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So here the Prince of Peace is talking to his disciples, and he says, first, peace I leave with you. Peace. He wants to impart peace to his disciples. And then he modifies it and he says, "I'm going to leave you my peace." He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." So we're not talking about any peace this morning, church. We're talking about the peace of Jesus. And then he goes on to say, it's not the kind of peace that the world tries to give to you. You know, the world, the kind of peace that the world wants to give to us is not true peace. You know, the world wants to give to us the peace of a strong economy, or maybe the peace of a new little gadget. You know, it's Christmas time. You know, we all have our Christmas lists, and we hope to get whatever, thinking that this gadget, this phone, this tool is going to create great peace in my life. And we all know that those kinds of longings are only temporary. How about peace the world wants to give of a stimulus check? You know, how many are thinking that that stimulus check is what's going to create peace? Or the vaccination shot? Or the promises of politicians and political parties? Or the absence of the war? Or chemicals that people put in their body to mask pain? This is the kind of peace that the world wants to give. But it's not Jesus' peace. Jesus is leaving, wants to leave his peace with the disciples and for you and I. Now, understand the context of this passage in John chapter 14. In just a little while, hours, Jesus is going to go with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read in Luke chapter 22 where Jesus gets on his knees and asks the Father if there's any other way that he could fulfill what the Father is wanting him to do in going to the cross. Jesus knows that there is no other way to fulfill his Father's will. He must drink completely that cup of suffering for each and every one of us. But the Bible says that Jesus sweats like great drops of blood. I mean, he's in agony. He's in pain in the garden over what he is about to face. And so here is this Prince of Peace wanting to leave his peace with his disciples, and moments later, he's in great agony, sweating great drops of blood over having to be obedient to the Father's will. But then the scripture tells us that somehow Jesus collects himself and is ready, is prepared to what he's about to face. And we see a man who, in spite of the circumstances, is full of peace in what he is about to face. Church, that's the kind of peace that Jesus wants to give to each and every one of us. Jesus says, do not be afraid. In John chapter 16, verse 33, again, just moments before what Jesus is about to face, he says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The peace, my friend, comes in Jesus. Because we know that Jesus has overcome the world. He is the source. Jesus says, trouble, trials, they're going to try to disrupt that peace. But take heart, take courage. I have overcome the world. You know, there's a lot of people today who want peace. They want peace from their past. They want peace in their home. And some want peace with God. Please understand that peace is not the absence of pain. peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. And my friend, you can't experience the peace of God until you've made peace with God. And that means you have to believe who He is. And who does Jesus say He is? In John chapter 14, verse 6, in this discourse, He tells the disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me." You want to have peace with God? You want to make peace with God this morning? We make peace with God in believing that Jesus is the only way. There's no other way to come into a relationship with God, to know God, except by Christ, by believing in all that Jesus said He is going to do. And when we humbly submit ourselves and say, "Jesus, I give up. I surrender. Today, I choose belief. Forgive me of my sin. Become the master, the boss of my life." My friend, when you do that, you find peace with God and you obtain the peace of God. And I want you to know, friend, those are the people whom God favors. That's the grace of God in your life. Those are the people in whom peace will come. And that is why Jesus came. Have you embraced that peace? Now understand, that's the most important decision that you're going to ever make. You need to settle that in your heart. Have you surrendered to Christ? But then Jesus goes on to say, you know what? It's not just a one-time event. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, Jesus says, "Now abide in me." We need to walk with Jesus. You know, when Jesus gives us His peace, that's the Holy Spirit. That's our mighty counselor. And it's in that relationship, it's in with that daily abiding with Jesus that we experience His peace on a daily, oftentimes moment by moment experience. You may be watching this morning, you might be thinking to yourself, "I don't need that kind of crutch. I can get through this life. I don't need God's help." You know what? Jesus isn't a crutch. Jesus is a life support system. Jesus is the true ventilator of life. And every single one of us need Jesus. And He wants us to abide with Him. He is the vine. We are the branches. We cannot produce fruit. This life with Christ will not work separated from Him. He is our very life. And when we make that commitment, and when we believe this, Jesus is our Prince of Peace. I conclude with this verse, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah says, "You will keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed on you." Do you have peace this Christmas season? There's a lot of fear this year. There's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of suffering going on in our world today, and even in our own church. Peace doesn't mean the absence of pain or problems. We're going to continue to have those. But Jesus says, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. I want to be your peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hope that only Christmas can bring. Father, we live in a world that is looking for peace in so many different places, thinking that it's going to deliver, and God, it fails every single time. But Jesus, you are here. And God, you favor those who trust you, who surrender to you. And I pray for the one who doesn't have a relationship with you. And God, they're afraid today. God, may today be the day of their salvation. May they just humbly, right where they're at, wherever they're located, God, you know, you hear that prayer. God, may they confess their sin, choose to believe and to tell you that they know that Jesus, you died for their sin, rose from the grave. God, they ask for your forgiveness, and they want you to be the Lord and Savior of their life. Thank you for hearing that prayer. God, now help them to walk with you, abide with you, trust you each and every day. Lord, for those are going through difficulty right now, Lord, you understand each and every one. You know where Keith Sinton is right now, Lord, emotionally and spiritually. Encourage him. Encourage the family. God, may he experience your peace as he goes through this difficult time. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. And that, God, we can draw comfort and strength and wisdom, and that we're not alone as we walk through difficulty. Thank you for the hope of Christmas. In Jesus' name, Ray. Amen. Well, I hope this has encouraged you this morning, and hope that you will experience his peace this Christmas season. And if we have the opportunity, join us this Friday for our Living Nativity as we celebrate the greatest gift God could have ever given his son, Jesus Christ. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful day. I miss you, and soon we'll be together again. But please stay safe this Christmas season. God bless you.